The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Edition. Good morning and welcome. My name is Mark Kranak, and we have Colton Stone sitting in for Chris Schmidt. What is Chris up to this weekend, Colton? Do you even know?
Baseball.
Besides not working and handling his duties?
Well, yeah, other than that. I guess he's got baseball for Junior all weekend. They're out in Denver, so they're gone till Monday.
Junior might go yard, man. The air's thin out there.
Well, yeah. If they go anywhere that they're a mile high up, I think those kids are just going to start hitting bombs.
I know. Game. That could happen. Maybe then Chris will actually love his son. You know? He's admitted on this show. He really doesn't.
He said it a few weeks ago that he's a little hard on him, but it obviously worked, right?
Yeah, that's true. Maybe so. Got a good show for you today. We're going to talk to Brandon Vogel. We're going to talk to Gary Sharp in the second hour, as we often do. And Nebraska got a new quarterback commit, as everybody is familiar with. And it's a McCaffrey, Mr. Luke McCaffrey. We're going to talk to him in the rewind after this segment. Really busy football week. You don't often expect that around this time. But pretty busy in terms of commitments Nebraska got, especially with the headliner with McCaffrey. And I mean, how do you not like that one, right? It's You're getting sort of a royal family, the royal family of football lately. I mean, think about that. Four kids all playing D1. I mean, that's not going to hurt Nebraska at all. And you can also see what Nebraska, you can see why Patrick O'Brien left. He's off playing, he's at Colorado State. Mm-hmm. They're really doubling down on athleticism.
Yeah, we've been asking everybody that. Are they kind of going for an athlete versus a quarterback, or are they going for someone they can build into a quarterback? And I think they're pretty confident between Verduzco and Frost that if they can get someone that runs a 4.4 or 4.5, like, you can't teach that kind of speed. So if you can find someone with that athletic ability and has some shred of throwing ability, you can build him into a better thrower. And not to say that Luke McCaffrey can't in his senior year turn into a better quarterback or better thrower. He hasn't really had the opportunity with his brothers playing in front of him, like you said, kind of a royal family. But I don't think they're so much going for pocket passers or true quarterbacks. They're going for kids that can fit into the offense. And I think you asked the question a couple weeks ago, is this kind of going to be a plug-and-play offense? But if they can get athletes that can somewhat throw the ball, I think that's the smartest decision they can make with who they've got to develop these quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm. So what makes this all interesting, too, and you wondered about it coming in anyways, it tells me that they're not looking for people like Jebbia.
Yeah,
let's just be honest, right? Like, and that's not against him, but he better bring something to the table that they can't get otherwise, if that makes sense. It's just, I guess I'm a little bit surprised at how much they are leaning that direction. You know what I mean? Like, they're leaning towards, can the dude run? It's almost like that's the first question. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Does he pass like an idiot? Yes or no? No? Good. Okay, cool. We'll bring him in. You know what I mean? Like, they're all in on that mobile part of things. And I don't know, maybe it shouldn't be such a surprise, but, they didn't move Mariota around a lot. McKenzie Milton didn't run it a lot either. Mm-hmm. And so maybe we've kind of undersold how much they value that. And now what does that mean this year for someone like Jebbia? Jebbia's not that. Mm-hmm. Yes, he can run, and you've heard Frost and company say, you don't need to be Michael Vick to run this offense, but they seem to prefer it.
Yeah, but it helps.
Yeah, they seem to prefer Michael Vick or Mariota or somebody that's got legs. That changes things.
Yeah, Chris and I were kind of talking about that when McCaffrey made his commit, you know, will someone in this offense potentially leave? And then we were talking about, well, what if Adrian Martinez doesn't start and Jebbia does get the start? I think if Jebbia doesn't get significant playing time this year, I think he waits it out the whole season. But if he doesn't play this year, I think he's gone. And like you said, that's not a knock on him. He's a wonderful quarterback, but he may just not fit the exact mold that they're looking for anymore. And like you said, you don't need to be Michael Vick, but it probably helps if you are.
Yeah, you know, the life of a quarterback. Think about Jebbia. He comes in as a true freshman, while is everybody in the spring game. And everybody's sort of like, Jebbia, that's the man. Well, his time in the spotlight lasted all of one off season, because the very next spring, everybody sees Martinez like, oh, forget Jebbia. Look at this guy. He's fast. Like, man, I don't know. So I guess you'll have to see how it shakes out. The only thing that, I mean, obviously Jebbia's got that whole, I don't know, he's a gym rat. He's smart. He can throw it. Who knows? Maybe he will bring something to the table. Maybe he will bring something to the table that they can't get out of Martinez, whether that's maturity or knowing the offense or whatever. But when you see the guys that Nebraska is bringing in, he's not an obvious fit. Mm-hmm. Prove it wrong. Maybe he will be, but doesn't exactly look like it. Did you see what Brandon Vogel posted or posed the question? What if Nebraska finished 6-6 this year, and how much would that change?
I did see that.
What you're thinking this year?
I
astute, because they weren't far away from 6-6. Now they weren't far away from
2-3 and 9
either.
Yeah,
2-10. Yeah. But Northwestern, I mean, that game could have gone Nebraska's way. Obviously, Northern Illinois could have. Would that change what you're thinking this year? And are we just buying the cool? I'm trying to figure out, can we objectively figure out how Nebraska is going to do this year? Because it's always about this time every year where I'm, I don't know about you, man, where I'm like, you know, I think if things line up right, look at that, you know, 9-10 win team, like no matter what, no matter what. Like, do you ever go into a season not thinking that?
I think the lowest I usually dip down is probably 8-4. I think you can look at teams and kind of think that that's where their ceiling is. But you look at Nebraska's schedule, and I mean, it's not easy. It's a tough one. But it's not unheard of, or it's not, like, unfathomable to look at that schedule and think that they could probably squeeze 8 or 9 wins out. They would just have to have a couple of upsets on the way just because everything's on the road. But I don't think them winning 6 games last year would make that big of a difference, because I think people would still be upset with Riley. People still would have been upset with, well, depending on how Eichhorst handled himself, they probably still would have been upset with that. Bill Moose probably still gets hired, like Brandon Vogel said. And then at that point, Frost probably still comes back. So I don't know if winning 6 games last year would have been that big of a difference. Maybe the leash would have been a little longer on Riley, but I don't. Getting blown out by Ohio State and Iowa and the Wisconsin game, how they basically just shut down the second half. There were too many big flaws during the, and Penn State, I forgot about that one too. But there were too many flaws down the road.
There were too many 50-point blowouts to remember.
Like, yeah, exactly. I don't even know how many points were scored. Oh, in Minnesota, there's another one too. So
yeah, let's go ahead and throw that one in there. Yeah. Hey, look, I thought Riley was going to be gone no matter what. But would it change your outlook for what you're thinking this year? Because general consensus that I hear from people, what they're hoping for, is probably 6-6. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what you hear for the most part?
Yeah.
Give or take?
Yeah,
maybe a 7-5.
I think
you're very little 8-4.
Yeah, 6 is probably about where everyone's sitting around at. And I know a lot of people have said if they dip down to 5, it's not surprising just because of the schedule. If they get to 7 or 8, that's also not surprising because we don't know where this talent is going to be during the season. I think those first 3 games are pretty pretty good start, because Colorado's not a pushover, but at the same time, they weren't the Colorado that they were when they made it to the Pac-12 championship. And on top of that, Troy was a really good football team last year. Akron was, I think, 7-5 or 7-6 in the MAC, so they aren't a bad football team. Any MAC team's not a bad football team, as Nebraska lost one last year. So, but I think those first three will be a pretty good warm-up to see where they are, and I don't imagine them not starting 3-0. But if they would have won 16 last year, I don't think people would come into this season knowing how much changed, expecting more than maybe 7 or 8 wins. I think it'd be hard to say, let's change a complete staff, not really keep anything intact, and then on top of that, the pressure of Frost coming back home with the daunting schedule they have. I don't think my opinion would change of them maybe the ceiling being at 7 or 8 games if they won 6 last year.
Okay, well, should it change based on this? Now, Colton, you tried out. You played in high school. You tried to walk on. So you're familiar with training, mm-hmm. right? You're familiar with kind of, hey, man, I'm going in the basement for a couple months, and I'm going to get my body right, you know? It matters a lot. Mm-hmm. And it can't be this simple, right? Or is it? If you're to believe everything that you hear coming out of winter conditioning, where it's pretty much across the board, every player that you heard talk about, they were, you know, put on 22 pounds of muscle. I lost 17 pounds of fat. I put on 48 pounds of muscle, right? Like, it's exaggerating, but that pretty much across the board, that's all you heard. And I'm like, okay, that tells me that these guys had a lot of fat to lose. And right?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of fat to lose. And they had a lot of muscle to gain. Now, excuse me, compared to us driving around, whatever, those dudes were in phenomenal shape last year. Mm-hmm. Okay? But compared to other Division I football programs, especially elite ones like Ohio State. Do you ever see a bad body on Ohio State's football team ever?
No.
No. Those dudes are always keyed up, like, just be ready. Physically, you better be ready, because they are. Was Nebraska just the fattest team in America? I'm not joking. Like, you heard those gains, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and some of them were... And the losses were pretty, you know, as far as, you know, fat loss and everything. And, you know, I did a nutrition study last year, and it kind of, like, tracked fat loss and everything. And there were times I went from, like, 21% to, like, 17% in, like, 6 weeks. So, like, it's possible to lose, like, big percentage really fast. And it's harder to put on, you know, lean muscle really, really fast, but it's easy to put on kind of, you know, if you put on 15 pounds, it's easy to say that 8 to 9 pounds can be muscle, but, you know, you'll bring a little bit of fat with you. But no, I think you're right. I think that played a big part last year. They physically, they could play 2.5 to 3 quarters, probably really competitively. And then it just started to tail off right at the, like, the, there was, I don't think there was one good fourth quarter that I can really think of
outside of Oregon.
Outside of Oregon. And even
that's
then,
early in the year, your body's fresh, relatively speaking.
And even then, there were some questionable decisions, whether that's play calling or just, you know, whatever may have happened. But, and maybe Oregon, you know, got off their throat a little bit too. But no, I think that plays a big key. And that may have been part of it too. Would this team had the talent to win maybe not more than 8 games last year, but they could have easily won 6 to 8 games, I feel like. And I think you're right. They may not have just been physically all there. And if your body's not right, and if you can't play all 4 quarters, but you're playing a team like Wisconsin or Ohio State that's built for that, I mean, you're running into a brick wall 90 times. So,
but is it that simple? Can it be? Yeah, you just mentioned it. You studied, right? You did a nutrition study. You trained yourself. These guys basically have 9 months with Duvall before they get going. In 9 months, well, I mean, how much can you transform yourself? Like, quite a bit.
Yeah.
Right? Like, a lot. Can't you? Especially when you consider that you're also, everything you're eating is getting monitored, your sleep's getting monitored, the whole everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the thing is, they've got this thing down to a science. You know, I'm not great with the whole sleep thing, and I'm not great with the whole nutrition thing, but like I can work out a lot, but it really comes down to is recovery is more so what it is mm-hmm. these guys have to have their body ready to withstand a beating for 3 hours or 2.5 hours, but also be prepared to, you know, if you're the defense, I think the defense has to be in the best shape of their entire life because they are going to be on the field a lot of the time if this offense is going to run the way it's supposed to, because and not to say the offense doesn't need to be in the exact same shape to be able to run at that pace, but if the defense is only going to be on the sideline for 4 to 6 plays potentially, or you know, or maybe it's more of a time than a play or duration than a play count, but you know, they may be sucking wind pretty fast, and I don't know if it's that simple, but it's going to play a big part. And I think Duvall and whoever they put in as a nutritionist has their work cut out for them.
Well, maybe it's not that simple, but when you hear the type of gains that these guys were talking about and how much body fat they dropped across the board, at all positions, pretty much, with the exception of some of the self-made guys like a Stanley Morgan or something, right? Like there's some self-made back in the day. Abdullah was one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some guys that like you got to kick them out of the weight room and they're already on top of it. You don't need any certain program for them. They got the genetics. They got the work ethic. They got the whatever. They're totally dedicated to it. But I think you had the vast majority of the team that didn't really know it. They were working hard, but you can still work out and be fat.
Yep. Yes.
Right? Like you can work out all the time and still be fat if you ain't eating right and all that other stuff.
Mm.
And I'm just like, it's just amazing to me that they had these kind of gains. And then if you think back to last year, you're not at par with your opponents, not even close. You're especially against teams like Iowa and Wisconsin in Ohio State. Those dudes are ready to roll physically no matter what. They never look sloppy. They never look terrible. They have that part of it. Is that alone enough? Look, put it this way. Say Duvall was in charge and Nebraska was in this sort of program going into last year.
Mm-hmm.
Did they finish 4-8? Right? Like, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, is going against an entire team who collectively has dropped 500 pounds of body fat and added 7,000 pounds of muscle or whatever. And it's not like these guys are, I'm not saying these guys are going to look like, you know,
Greek gods or anything like
right,
that.
No, but they're obviously getting reshaped.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody across the board. What is that worth? Right?
Yeah. It's an interesting way to think about it because I think you asked the right question is, you know, you said some of those guys have just a natural like work ethic. I don't know, not like you said, not to say they weren't working hard. I was kind of over the whole fact that Nebraska was recruiting 4 and 5 stars from California and from here, there, wherever. And not because, you know, they aren't good at football or aren't good at what they do. It just seems like in the 3 years with Riley, we got so entranced by stars and how many stars were by someone's name and what state they came from that we didn't really look necessarily at the work ethic or whether they were going to be a prima donna, whether they were going to be mad they didn't get playing time or whatever it may be. And I think that there were a lot of clashing egos in the locker room. I think that's what happened a lot of times. And I don't know if that's what would drag the season down to 4-8. But if guys aren't on the same page and guys aren't, you know, willing to work for each other or are only worried about themselves, I'm sure that everyone reacts differently to being down or losing or winning, whatever it may be. And I think that plays more into it than nutrition. Now, then what comes in later, obviously, is being ready physically, being able to withstand four quarters of Iowa or Wisconsin football or Big Ten football in general, especially when you get into the November months or, you know, October,
dude,
November.
Even like Purdue.
But,
do you remember last year? It really hit me, and you kind of knew, you knew it was over by then, of course. But when you saw Nebraska just next to Purdue, mm-hmm. like Purdue looked better.
Oh, yeah.
Physically. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that was shocking to me. I was just like, Purdue's going to kill Nebraska today. And they didn't. Of course, Nebraska gets the, you know, 1-point win, comeback. But they physically looked better than Nebraska. Nebraska was just kind of, it was kind of an average, you know, looking. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just wonder if, because everything you're talking about, too, with like chemistry and, you know, our guys on the same page and all that, it sort of seems like a given at this point under Frost, right? Doesn't it?
Well, now it does. Yeah. I mean, last year it seemed like everyone was kind of, who knows, I guess. But this year, I think they've brought the reins in on that.
Nebraska was the fattest team in America last year. Is that it? So now you got a lean team that is all rowing the same direction. Like, I don't know. It's hard for me to wrap my brain around Nebraska's raw material being so bad that all you can expect is 6 wins this year. You know, you just look around the rest of the Big Ten. I'm like, Nebraska's not at this huge talent deficit compared to Ohio State. Definitely. Course, Penn State probably a little bit less talented. Michigan less talented, but outside of that, that's it. Nebraska's got 3rd, 4th best talent in the Big Ten.
Oh, I mean, still, and that's the thing, is they have the talent. I think a lot of what it falls on, and it's not, there's really not that much inexperience as far as at least some play time. And I know this is hopping all the way back. I think the only, you know, you were talking about Jebbia potentially not playing, or we were entranced by the allure of Adrian Martinez and how fast he is and all that. But Jebbia has also been on this campus for, what, a year and a half now or whatever it may be. And I don't know how much weight that holds, but there is enough of, they are, you know, suited into college. They aren't worrying about so much grades and all that. Obviously, it's a big part, but they're settled in at least.
Yeah.
Right. And then, like you said, they have some of the best talent. I don't think it's that we're expecting 6-6. I think it's that everyone is, I don't know if everyone's okay with 6-6 either, but they aren't trying to set it any higher. I like the mantra that Frost and company are going with, how they don't want to set win totals. They don't, because if you don't reach it or if you get past it, like, you know, you're just setting yourself up with, hey, we're okay with 8 wins. Hey, we're okay with 6 wins. But you look at the schedule. The schedule is what makes it tough, because you're going to have an inexperienced quarterback going on the road to the Big House.
Yep.
And that's tough. And then Wisconsin on the road, Ohio State on the road, Iowa on the road, and Michigan State at home. So I don't think it's that the talent's not there. I think a lot of it's just how are they going to react in such big stages and with maybe not as much experience as some of the players have.
You know, and we'll get more into it as the show goes on, but it's been funny to me to hear what people say about specifically about that Michigan game. That's winnable. Harbaugh's, they're not very good. They've been struggling. That defense.
Yeah.
Michigan's defense is elite, and I'm talking like of the 21st century elite. Seriously, going on like 3 years in a row, you could say that's one of the better defenses that any team has had in the 21st century. I'm right up there with Bama. Their stats and all that it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You don't convert third downs on those guys ever. Like, they've been leading the country in that every single. If Nebraska somehow wins that game, all bets are off for the year.
Hmm. No,
in my opinion, all bets are off, because that means your offense is mature enough to do that, and that your defense has somehow found its sea legs. You win that Michigan game, all bets are off. And that's sort of like, okay, this season is who knows what the season is going to bring. Because as you look at it now, no way. No way in Nebraska. No way a brand new quarterback goes to the Big House, mm-hmm. moves the ball against that defense. Right? Like, could be a shutout type. On paper, if you look at it now, I mean, there's pretty much zero in Nebraska's favor going into that game.
Well, are you in the same boat kind of that the offense, at least the way it seems like it's been trending, the offense will probably be ready before the defense, and then the offense, if they are able to work in the high power that they're trying to, they are kind of able to be patient for the defense to catch up?
Let's get into that. We got to step aside, though. We got to get Luke McCaffrey on. He was on the Rewind. Nebraska's newest quarterback commit, younger brother of Christian McCaffrey, son of Ed McCaffrey. He is going to be a Husker signal caller in the class of 2019. He joined Hail Varsity earlier on, and so we will catch up with him next on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
With Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranach.
Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, part of the 2019 class, quarterback commit Luke McCaffrey with us. Luke, thanks for taking the time. How's your day been?
No problem. It's going well. Good day to be a Husker.
You know what? Nebraska fans really excited. You growing up in Colorado, how much did you know about Nebraska before Scott Frost and Mario Verduzco entered the picture? Let's start there with the Nebraska program, its history. What's your level of knowledge on it?
Yeah, just growing up, me in Nebraska, I really just looked up all the teams back in the early 2000s, even looking back to the 90s. I wasn't born yet, but there's still some highlight tapes out there. And just being so close, it's hard to not feel the presence of that historic program.
Luke McCaffrey, a few minutes with us, Hail Varsity Radio. So tell me about your recruiting process. Was it enjoyable for you? Was it stressful? Was there a lot of emotion attached? Did you struggle much with this? Or was it pretty much a piece of cake? What door do you fall into with that?
It wasn't too bad. I really just wanted to narrow it down to the few schools I know I'd really be interested in and go ahead and visit those. And when I visited Nebraska, I really just felt a connection to it. And my parents encouraged me to just be completely confident in that decision and test out a few other schools. And after I did that, I really just knew that Nebraska was the choice, so I pulled the trigger.
Luke, when did Nebraska come on the radar for you?
A few weeks before I visited. I think I'd been talking to them a little bit, and then they decided to offer, which really, really boosted it up a lot.
What made you interested in Nebraska? Was it Coach Frost coming to Lincoln?
There's a lot. I mean, obviously, it's a historic program in college football, and it'd be a dream to play for them. And when Frost got there, it felt like that the timing's right, and he's running a system that I think I really fit into, and it was really fun to watch when he was out at UCF.
Luke McCaffrey's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, 2019 commit for Nebraska at quarterback. Tell me a little bit about your program at Valor Christian. What's the culture like? If someone were to walk in and observe the team before practice or even after practice, what would they see?
I think we have a good culture here. My dad just took over the head coaching job, and it's really just emphasizing earning whatever you get. We've had some success in the past, but right now we're really trying to earn what we get and just come out here every day and just bust out.
What's that like for you, having dad wearing the headset?
It's good, especially for my senior year. He coached me throughout Little League, and past 3 years he really wanted us to kind of make our own thing. But now that it's my senior year and I'm a little bit more settled in, it's going to be really special.
Luke McCaffrey is joining us, Hail Varsity Radio. Luke, how many sports have you played growing up?
I played just about any you can think of. In high school, I played four. So I played football, basketball, lacrosse, and I ran track.
Okay, what'd you do in track?
I ran, my main event was a 400.
Okay. So let's go back to your visit to Nebraska. I know the Huskers extended an offer, and then you and your family came out. Who did you meet with first? Was it Coach Mario? Was it Coach Frost? What was your first impression from a coaching staff standpoint?
So I went in for a practice, my dad and I, and it was really cool just being able to watch them do their thing in their own environment and just feel welcomed. And then I had a really long meeting with Coach Verduzco about how the program works and how they install plays and just how he wants a quarterback to be.
Give us a little more on that conversation, if you can. How long was the meeting, and what was the back and forth like?
It was a couple of hours, at least. And it was special. I really felt a connection with him, and I can't wait to get working with him because I think the way he looks at the game and how he thinks of the quarterback position is really something special.
What were your conversations like with Coach Frost?
They were good. They were a little more general just about the program and how that works and about the system, but they were great.
With this offensive style, and it's been well documented, the success at Central Florida, your skill set, Luke, tell me how it fits into this offense and where you think you can thrive.
They're definitely looking for a guy that can throw and run and make some plays happen, and I think that's something I want. But more importantly, just looking for a hard-working leader, and I think that's something I'd love to step into and embrace.
What do you think you do best when it comes to throwing? What do you think you do best when it comes to running?
I'd probably just say it's a little bit of the versatility. I think I make smart decisions in the pass game, which can help and can help extend plays with my feet, which really helps there.
You've kind of played everywhere, haven't you? I mean, this is going to be your senior year. The quarterback spot will be yours. That said, you've played wideout, you played safety, you played quarter, you played running back, wideout, kick returner, punt returner. Did you enjoy being all over the field?
Yeah, it was awesome, especially the first few years I got to play with my brother, and he really helped show me how to lead and just how to play the sport, and it was really encouraging just being able to be on the field at the same time with him.
Well, you mentioned your brother and Dylan, big-time quarterback that's over at Michigan. And take me through your family a little bit, your brothers, just the connection you have with them, and what was it like playing hoops against one another in the backyard?
It was great. I really learned everything I know from them, and just them having it firsthand is a great advantage, I think. And I mean, we got competitive. We had some scraps in the yard, but we know that in the end, we're each other's biggest fans, and no matter where we are, we'll always root for each other.
Was it hard to not play quarterback in high school and have to wait, or did you care because you were playing other spots?
Yeah, I mean, obviously anybody wants to be able to play, but I think my brother playing really encouraged me to just have fun and really enjoy the game.
What's the best advice you've gotten from one of your siblings or your dad when it comes to football?
To just enjoy it and embrace the moment. I mean, everybody has a certain time limit on their career, and you never know when that's going to end. So really just enjoy every single moment and play your heart out.
A few minutes here. Luke McCaffrey with us, Hail Varsity Radio, kind enough to join us and talk about his commitment to Nebraska. I want to go back to some of the other schools that you were considering. Where are some of the other places you visited?
So I visited Nebraska and then decided to take a visit to North Carolina and Virginia just this past year. Those are probably the three I narrowed it down to, but I thought Nebraska in the end, it just felt right.
And with Mario, when he talked to you about quarterbacking, because that's been his life. I mean, he's spent a lot of time at a lot of places. What did he like about what he's seen from you? Because he saw you in person, right? And he's seen film. What did he like about you? And what are some areas that need to grow this senior year and beyond?
He really just, I think, saw somebody that is willing to buy into a system and buy into a program and really just take it head over hands and just do everything you can. I'm hoping that's what he saw, and just improve some technique things and some eyes things, just looking to where I need to think and look on the field. But overall, just somebody that can really grow in his program.
Well, and Nebraska fans extremely excited to have Luke McCaffrey's with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. There's a lot of Colorado kids on the roster. That's not new historically for Nebraska, but are you close with some of the guys on the team from the state of Colorado?
Yeah, I think that's awesome. That was really encouraging when I visited. I know I was good friends with JoJo Doman growing up. My mom's good friends with the Stoles, and Eric Lee went to my high school, and along with that, Tate Wilderman really helped me out in the recruiting process as well. He just got out there a few days ago, and that was really encouraging.
What did Tate have to say? I mean, he's kind of getting acclimated now, but he'd been through this. He signed with this staff. What were his words to you?
He was encouraging, and then he just told me kind of what it's like, especially with him having some buddies and some guys who graduated early. He kind of knows what's going to go on and what's going to happen, and it was good to just be able to hear that firsthand from him.
Who do you like at quarterback in the NFL?
I really look at a few guys. I think, just throwing it back a little bit, Steve Young, and then for now, Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, Marcus Mariota, those type of guys.
Yeah, that's a good list. That's a really good list. Luke, best to you. Thanks for a few minutes with us here on Hail Varsity. Take care and enjoy your summer.
Thank you. It'll be great.
Early to rise with Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranick.
Rolling along on a Saturday, hour two of Hail Varsity Radio, coming up with Brandon Vogel, managing editor, and Gary Sharp. My name is Mark Kranack alongside Colton Stone. Chris Schmidt is on assignment. Derek Peterson from Hail Varsity just broke this yesterday. Trey Bryant has been up in the mix with everything Nebraska's doing for the past month. He's going into summer conditioning full go. The guy's not restricted at all, apparently. That was surprising. I wouldn't say that I expected that was the case. Guy's been on the shelf since September, essentially.
Yeah.
Had surgery, cleaned up his old man knees, as he calls it, and is sort of full go. Will that last? Who knows? But that is a welcome addition. But I have not counted on nothing about what I think about Nebraska in 2018 has included Trey Bryant in those thoughts.
Mm-hmm. No.
Right? Like, you just sort of count him out.
Yeah, and we were talking to Derek yesterday on the show, Danny and I, and we kind of asked that too. Like, adding Trey Bryant, what does that do? Like, what does that do for the offense and the running back room? And Trey Bryant himself even said, like, look at how deep the running backs are now. And potentially getting Maurice Washington on campus also, and then Greg Bell. You've got Ozigbo. You've got Wilbon. And personally, I think Wilbon finally fits into an offense. Whether they utilize him is a different story. But and then you add Trey Bryant with everyone that they already have, and you've got five or six like really really solid options. Jalen Bradley also that you could plug into this offense, and speed wise and grit wise. I mean, you're pretty much set at the running back position. I have a hard time believing that none of these guys can do it. I think some of them are just built, whether it's more physical or speed.
Yeah. And, you know, Brian, from his high school film, absolutely the type of player that Frost would have recruited. Mm-hmm. He's one of those kind of long strider sprinter types, at least from high school. You didn't see as much of it this year because he was running – you know, they didn't just try to outflank you on the outside. So he ran inside, and he looked pretty good doing that. Had enough wiggle to kind of keep it going. Wasn't a super shifty guy, but shifty enough to just, you know, fall forward for the most part. But he's kind of one of those outflank you sprinter types that would look really good on some of those kind of end around misdirection, jet sweep type plays. So, God, see how that goes. And you're right. You're talking about now. I wouldn't say there's a bell cow there, though. I wouldn't say there's a Darren McFadden or an Adrian Peterson in that backfield. But you got legitimately 5 to 6 options. And this doesn't even include Miles Jones, who is probably the best fit out of any of them. Who's coming in too. You might not have to rely on that guy, though. You might not even need him this year. You might consciously decide to redshirt him.
Yeah, I think with the guys that aren't redshirted and the guys that, you know, have either been in the, at least in the program leading up to this, or are fairly new to the program but are extremely talented. I mean, I know they'll probably run a pretty much a set, you know, offense, how they want the running backs or how many will be out there, but you have plenty of options where, I mean, you could almost run some kind of triple option out of the shotgun because you have that many running backs that are capable of speed and physicality. They aren't short, you know, in that department by any means. And you said this earlier, kind of like the talent disparity. I don't think it's really that big because Danny and I were thinking about, they asked if you could add any college player. Who would you add to NU's roster? But I was looking at it, it's like, I think I would either add someone to the line, one of the lines, right, or maybe on defense because you look at the talent. I mean, it's there. It's whether it's developed or not.
You know, and let's not forget this either. As you think about the defense and maybe trying to add some guys on the line here and there, totally fair, makes sense considering the performance of both lines for the past while. But you're also, I think we also sell short sometimes how important it is to be upperclassmen on both the offensive and defensive line, just from a physical maturity standpoint, just from a man strength standpoint, right? Especially in the Big Ten.
Oh, yeah.
Like dudes with beards and grandchildren, right? Like Nebraska, you know, like think about the Davis brothers, for instance. They're finally juniors. We've been expecting all kinds of stuff from them. They've, you know, been freshmen and sophomores. You can't expect a lot out of those guys when they're that young. All right, that's hour one. Hour two coming up. We'll talk to managing editor Brandon Vogel next on Hail Varsity Radio.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Hail Varsity Radio, hour number two rolls on, the Saturday morning edition. My name is Mark Kranak, alongside Colton Stone, who is in for Chris Schmidt, who is in the Mile High City. I guess he's getting a bunch of edibles and bringing them back. That's illegal. You're not supposed to do that. I can't believe we got to talk to Schmidt about that. Just kidding. Brandon Vogel joins us, the managing editor for Hail Varsity. Brandon, a lot of news this week, like a lot of news, a lot.
There really was. Yearbook goes to press on Monday, so we've been kind of elbows deep in that. And I'm like, of course, this is the week where Nebraska goes on a run of like 4 straight commits. But it's a good thing. We managed, so.
Well, right, and 2 of which really affected this year, Vinuku and Will Jackson. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing Vinuku right. Out of those 2 guys, though, Nebraska gets a defensive lineman transfer that's 188 years old. They get Will Jackson, who is basically built like Lamar Jackson. And he's going to join the fray at corner. Out of those 2, which one kind of intrigues you the most?
Probably Jackson, just because I think the depth's a little better for Nebraska on the defensive line. So Vinuku is... I don't want to call him a luxury. They obviously brought him in because they saw something in him and a role that they didn't previously totally fill. But with the secondary, specifically at corner, Nebraska has 3 options who all played last year. But I think upping the competition in that room is a good thing for all of those options. So I kind of look at the addition of Jackson as the bigger one immediately.
Now, you mentioned the yearbook, by the way. I just want to. So you just finished that up this weekend, is that right? Or yes, this week?
This weekend, yeah. So it should go to press first thing Monday morning. And then it takes a little bit longer to print this one, of course. It's 184 pages. Should start showing up towards the end of next week. And it'll be available for anyone who wants to purchase it individually or subscribe on HailVarsity.com next week as well.
Nice. So that thing is, man, that's sort of the official. That's awesome. So end of next week, the Hail Varsity yearbook will be there, 184 pages. As you were going through it, did you, it's kind of a weird question to ask. Did you find yourself buying in a little more? Did you find yourself saying, where are the holes exactly? Do you know what I'm saying? Do you feel, I guess, better about it after really diving into each position group? Is your outlook rosier than maybe it was before you went into kind of, you know, the last month or two of really diving into this team?
Yeah, a little bit, although I do sort of feel that sort of thing happens to me almost every offseason as you spend more time looking at it. But with this one in particular, I guess here's a good example, not to spend too much time in the defensive backfield, but the secondary is what it is. We know it's probably the part of the defense that has the least amount of depth, although safety is certainly interesting in terms of the number of options they have there. And I wrote a little bit about this this week. You know, I actually find myself feeling a little bit better about that. I think DiCaprio Boodle is going to have a really good season. And as I said, as they've added some additional options to that room via junior college transfers and then just the incoming freshmen, like, I think they're going to have enough to choose from there that they'll be able to put a couple of guys out there who can produce the play they want. So if that's one of my biggest questions coming in on the defensive side, and I'm starting to feel better about it, I think it does change my outlook a little bit for 2018.
Brandon Vogel with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Brandon, I asked Mark this. We didn't really get into it too much, but with how this season is kind of set up to go and how what they want to do with the offense and how high power they want it to be and the speed and everything they're trying to put into it, are they kind of in the realm where they'll try to let their offense dictate the game and kind of let their defense catch up like readiness-wise throughout the season?
I think that's the general model for how this offense and defense fit together. So, you know, we know they emphasize sort of the quote unquote negative plays defensively. They know that when this offense is running, they've got a lot of points to play with. So it's not your standard sort of Iowa-like defense where they're going to come in and allow 14 or 17 points a lot of times. But with this season in particular, and you know, I'm trying to avoid this as we've continued to go on, but it's still difficult. You look at the 2016 UCF season, that was a team that was very much led by the defense. So in a year one, I think sort of, okay, we're going to switch our mindset from whatever last year was to, hey, go out there and get the ball. Like, go make hits. Like, if you make a mistake, not a big deal. We'll play another down. That's a little easier, I think, to translate in year one. So it actually wouldn't surprise me if Nebraska was a little bit defense-led as the offense found its footing in 2018.
How much does Trey Bryant's return? Derek Peterson reporting yesterday that Bryant is essentially full go and has been with the team over the past month, not really restricted in any way. How much does that change your outlook for the offense, if at all?
Not a whole lot, but it's certainly great to hear for his sake, and I think he does add something in terms of being what was certainly Nebraska's best kind of between the tackles runner last year. That's still plenty valuable in this offense. Think about the short and speedy guys that UCF has, and that some sort of the recruiting has gone towards for Nebraska. That's all great, but having that guy, particularly in the red zone, who can get some tough yards for you, I think certainly adds a dimension that, well, last year we saw it. He was Nebraska's best guy at doing that, and when he wasn't there, they weren't as good.
Brandon Vogel with us on Hail Varsity Radio as we talk Nebraska football. Hey, real quick, though, let's deviate from that. You watching Crawford fight tonight?
I might. I got to figure out. only available on your phone? Is that the deal? That's how much I paid attention to it at this point.
It's weird. It's on ESPN Plus, which is their like Disney's first foray into legit streaming, which is $5 a month. But I would presume you can just, you know, order it and then cancel afterwards. So it's basically a $5 pay-per-view. But I think you can do it, like, if you have like a web browser on your TV, you can, you know, get it like that, I think.
Yeah, that's right. It is ESPN Plus. I don't know. I would like to watch it. I'll see. If you got the 30-day trial, then I guess why not? But even like you said, $5, not a big deal.
Yeah, shouldn't be so bad. Hey, you know, Nebraska picks up Luke McCaffrey as a commit. Is that one of those where do you think it's as good as we think it might be? Is he of the same caliber from what you've seen as obviously his brothers, which have performed really well?
It's tough to say as it pertains specifically to quarterback because he hasn't played a ton of it yet. So athletically, he's close to the same class. I mean, it's hard to say he is the same because if you're talking about Heisman finalists, that sort of deal. But I like the athleticism. You like where he comes from. Having been around what his brothers have gone through, what his father did in the NFL, those are all good things. And the interest level, even though he hasn't played a ton of quarterback, was sort of a signifier of what you'd expect for a four-star quarterback who's looking at places like Nebraska and North Carolina, et cetera. So it's just tough to tell. You see the athleticism right away on tape. That all looks good, and I'll kind of forever be interested by how that translation goes when they come into Mario Verduzco's system and get a really detailed, really sort of planned out course in, okay, here's the best way to throw the ball. Here's how you become a quarterback. These are the things you need to do. That's going to always be interesting to me.
Brandon Vogel with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Brandon, with the addition of McCaffrey and who Frost and Verduzco have been looking at quarterbacks, mostly athletes, and I know we've probably asked you about that a few different times, but at what point do you think Jebbia kind of starts trickling in that if he doesn't get playing time this year that he looks to go away? And maybe what do you think his panic meter could be set at if he's not the starter at the beginning of the year?
Well, I think all of that stuff is valid. Tristan is a pretty level-headed guy. I think he seems to have a realistic read on the situation. And Verduzco goes to great pains to sort of outline how these races are decided, what's fair, and where you're at. So all of that could help. When I look at Jebbia, I don't view his, you know, he's not Adrian Martinez. He's not Luke McCaffrey. Those guys aren't him as a pure thrower either. I don't think it's a total detriment. I don't think it eliminates him from the race, even though the writing on the wall says, well, if we were recruiting you now, you might be down the board a little bit. Because, like, the best quarterback play, it doesn't have to be, well, you've got to be the best runner to produce the best quarterback play in this offense. So I still think there's a realistic chance for him to be the starter in game one, to even start all season, even though if I had to choose, I would probably pick Martinez.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So you're thinking it's going to be, is that where you see it going? Like, as the year progresses, at some point it's Martinez's show.
Yeah, I think so, and it's really tough because, you know, we've got the spring game essentially to make those. But, you know, based on some conversations with some people who got to see more than that, and based on what was in there, I think there just seems to be a sort of intangible, you know, the it factor, whatever, all these words that we try to use to describe something that can't be described. You see that with Martinez, and I think eventually, it may not be, you know, right away in September, but eventually that comes through and is probably enough to get him some starts.
Hey, Brandon, with going through the yearbook, it's an interesting process, not only, you know, diving into the numbers and doing interviews and research, but you also have this huge photo session where pretty much the entire team comes around the Hale varsity staff for a couple hours. You're obviously pouring through all those photos to figure out which ones actually make it. So you get a real up close and personal look at this group physically. Now, after spring conditioning, one of the nutritionists tweeted out they lost 389 pounds of body fat. Could you see that? Was it visible to you? And if so, who are maybe the 3 to 5 guys that stand out from a transformation perspective, if any?
Yeah, I think you do notice it a little bit. I have been looking over 1,400 photos, which is about 10% of the total photo shot during that shoot. So I'm trying to remember anyone offhand. Maybe this is just the novelty of it, but you look at some of the new guys who come in. Mike Williams was the one who stood out to me as a really impressive, long, lean athlete. Now, he's obviously only been at Nebraska for a couple of months, but he was one. Alex Davis was another one. You know, Alex Davis always sort of had the length, but he looks a lot bulkier. He kind of looks like that, you know, weak side defensive end now. Trying to think of anybody else who comes to mind. Those were the top two that just come to mind right away. I'll have to go back and look through the rest of them again, see, jog my memory.
But as a whole, are you seeing a 390 pounds of fat is a lot, right? And you're not, and that wasn't Mike Williams, for instance, losing 10 pounds of fat. The dude's already skinny. It wasn't Stanley Morgan losing a bunch of fat. It wasn't Trey Bryant, right? Like, it wasn't any of the 6'10" tight ends that Nebraska has losing a lot of fat. It's mainly in the trenches, right? And in kind of probably the linebacking core. Would you say that was visible, that you see a difference in those guys?
Yeah, I think so. It's interesting, the differences with the position groups and these players come through. You know, the offensive linemen are always pretty covered up. It's the defense backs and wide receivers who, even though they can no longer do it in the games, tend to go with crop top look. But, you know, the defensive line, there's probably – these photos aren't totally final, but there's probably a group shot that goes along with the D-line that I think describes a lot of what you're talking about. I looked at that, and it's, you know, a group of – that includes some of the young guys like DeAndre Thomas and Damian Daniels and some of the veteran guys. I'm like, oh, yeah, that looks like a pretty fierce defensive line. Color me intrigued with that one. So D-line was one where I did kind of feel that way.
Brandon Vogel with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Brandon, we debated this in the first hour, and we talked a lot about nutrition and the physicality and kind of the program that are being put through. And you posed the question of, let's pretend that Nebraska won 6 games last year. Does anything really change? We were talking about if Duvall was the strength and conditioning coach last year and kind of got these guys into shape for last season, do you think that would have had that big of an impact, or are we simplifying it too much?
An impact on 2017, or how we're looking at 2018?
Yeah, 2017.
I think it could have. So the point of that thought experiment that I went with was just kind of looking at the tenor of previews for 2018, and you look at Nebraska's schedule, and you could get to 6-6. You can change the Northern Illinois game, change the Northwestern game. You can also probably get to 2-10. So Nebraska was somewhere in there, and how many wins they have probably does change the tenor of that. But if you look at just kind of additional conditioning being a little bit better shape, which we think is going to happen, that could have absolutely made a difference in 2017. About the same, I'd say. You're still talking about maybe 2 games, because many of those, 6 of those Nebraska losses were pretty crushing blowouts that, a little bit more muscle wasn't going to fix.
Brandon Vogel with us on Hale Varsity Radio. Would you say that Nebraska, again, after looking at the Big Ten quite a bit, from a talent perspective, just an overall talent perspective, you got to go Ohio State, probably Penn State and or Michigan. And then it's Nebraska, right? Or do you see it in a different way in terms of just pure overall talent?
Yeah, I think that's pretty close. You know, Michigan State is probably in there. They've got a good 3 or 4 year run of, you know, recruiting at about the same level Nebraska is, like high 20s, you know, that type of level. So that's, you know, Nebraska, based on the recruiting rankings, is still the most talented team in the West. That said, I think in the skill positions, I feel like that is definitely true. On the lines is where it's still a question for me. Is Nebraska, where would you rank their offensive and defensive line talent right now in the Big Ten? I don't know, but it's probably not above the top half of the conference. So that's kind of, I think, what we saw over the last 2-3 years at Nebraska, and still a big question mark for this team.
Brandon Vogel from Hail Varsity Radio with the yearbook coming out later on this week, man. Looking forward to it. Brandon, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, there's Brandon Vogel, and man, yeah, I can't wait. When the yearbook comes out, that's just like, no, it's bittersweet. Because what happens is, I don't know about you, Colton, but it's sort of like I very rarely just kind of keep coming back to it. I pick it up and I just ingest the entire thing in like a single sitting. And then you're like, damn, now I got to wait another month and a half.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of how a lot of, I mean, especially for like summertime, you finally get something that's like worthwhile, something that's not just to grab for a headline. You ingest all of it because you really want to get something. And then it's like, oh, that was all of it. There it is. And yeah. I feel like that's kind of, I mean, that's the summer in a nutshell, is we get all this like information slowly out and you get really excited for the season. Then you kind of dies down in July, and then you just have to wait till fall conditioning starts basically. So what do you think the odds are? And we've thought about this at the Journal Star, like there's a good chance that no one talks to Frost, at least like in person, until almost like the middle of August. Like there's like, I feel like there's not going to be a lot of, he's not going to be a lot of, you know, communicating with people. Do you think?
You got the Big Ten media days, of course. So that's right. Going to crop up, and that's late July. Yeah. But I can see what you're saying. I put it this way. I don't think he's going to be as active and open and welcome as Riley and crew were.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying like they're trying to go underground secret, but I think they really are just dedicated to, in this summer, they know they have a lot of work cut out for them. And so I just think that, and we know who Scott Frost is a person, we know who this team is, as far as the coaches, I think they just want to get to work, prove it on the field and kind of ignore the outside noise until they really have to.
Yep. Gary Sharp is going to join us next, and he's going to prove it on the phone. That's what's going to happen there. Gary Sharp joining us next. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Now back with Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranach.
Hour number two, Hail Varsity Radio, continues live on 1480. Mark Kranach and Colton Stone. Chris Schmidt is not here. He'll be back next week. He's in Colorado getting a bunch of edibles, which I can't believe. We shouldn't even be talking about that. That's a secret. You know, Chris does it for the glaucoma. That's all. Hey, Gary Sharp is now joining us. Gary, I understand you have exclusive breaking news. Do you have anything?
On Schmidt being in Colorado?
Yeah. I tweeted out that you're going to have exclusive breaking news for us, so I was hoping you could come up with something. It's June, so...
anything? Let's see. You know what? I can't even make anything fake up.
Damn it. No fake news? Nothing. Ah. No, there actually was a lot of news this week, though. Nebraska bolsters their defensive line for this year. They bolster the secondary for this year. Pick up a couple of commits beyond that for 2019. You know, out of any of those things, which one kind of grabbed you the most? Whether it be McCaffrey's commit, Will Jackson, Vinuku, what stands out the most out of a pretty busy week for Nebraska football overall?
Yeah, and I think it's not done. I think we're still got about another 10 days with Nebraska reformulating the roster either for this year or next year. I think getting the quarterback, anytime you can get your quarterback in your class and it being Luke McCaffrey, and the bump you get from Luke McCaffrey, not only from him being a good football player and a lot higher upside and more to come with him, but also the name. I mean, Nebraska gets Luke McCaffrey, it's a quarterback that was near the top of their board that they pinpointed, they wanted. He was the first to say yes. And then you saw around the country, people see the last name. They know about the family, which is the first family of football and athletics in the state of Colorado. You know, they got a little nice little bump. So I think getting your quarterback and you can build from there is a good start for Nebraska. But it was a good week. And, you know, Nebraska's still in the process of trying to fill holes for this year and you know, definitely get next year where you're not going to have as many big gaps, because you got to remember we're thinking about 18. You're looking at 19. You're recruiting for 20. There's a big gap between freshmen, sophomores, all the way then to juniors, seniors. I mean, that's a large sophomore class that you're going to have to work around in the next couple of years.
Gary, you look at some of the quarterbacks that Frost and Verduzco have been going after, and with Adrian Martinez obviously on campus and saying he gets the starting job, by the time McCaffrey and some of these other guys come in, he'll have a year or potentially two if they redshirt under his belt. With how many they're looking at, are they really just trying to bolster as many athletes in that quarterback room, or kind of what direction do you think they're going with that?
I think they're just trying every year to get a quarterback and to keep the competition high in that room, Colton. You know, you think about the past Nebraska quarterback rooms, how many times can you go three deep and you feel real good about all three of them? Usually you can go two deep and that third person is a very raw quarterback, or in some cases, even a walk-on. So I think they want to keep that room competitive with a scholarship quarterback every year. And some may not last. Some may not stay at their same position. But he's the kind of quarterback that Mario Verduzco and Scott Frost talk about. They see something in him that can fit into the offense. And I think one of the biggest things, if you happen to watch the offense that Luke McCaffrey plays in Colorado, if I'm the quarterback coach and the head coach of Nebraska, I'm watching that film and go, boy, that's what we do. Next frame, that's what we do. Oh, that's what we do. He's perfect for this offense. And that's one of the things I saw. So I think they want to keep that room competitive. And you don't even worry about, man, there's way too many guys in here. You know, people are going to transfer. I think they're confident in competition is good. And also the camaraderie in that room will be good, that you have quarterbacks that are currently in that room reach out to Luke McCaffrey and say, hey, congratulations on the commitment. Welcome to Nebraska. And that's a year later while they're focusing on a battle to be the starter or at least play a little bit in 18.
Gary Sharp with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Nebraska added a couple players for 2018 with Vinuku. I can't even get his name right, but he'll play on kind of all slots along the defensive line. And then Will Jackson is a transfer that's going to come in and play in the secondary. Did I hear you sort of hinting that Nebraska's still not done on the transfer market? Or was I just kind of hearing things?
No, I think they're always open for business. There's a defensive back who would be a grad transfer from Bowling Green that's taking on a huge academic load this summer to possibly graduate and be able to move on.
Huh.
Cam Jeffries, who, you know, has Nebraska on the radar. That's a possibility. And, you know, I mean, there's still, I think if we're doing the math, Nebraska's at 85 scholarships. I'm sure as we get closer to August 1 when they report and then August 2 when they hit the field, there'll be some guys that their names just all of a sudden disappear. So I think this is the one thing that when you can do with roster management and guys that, you know, you need to move out of the program or elect to move, you always have spots open. So you're always open for business. You don't at the end of spring football shutter down and say, all right, we'll see you in August. You're always looking to improve your roster. And I think that's the allure of Scott Frost is you have spots open, but you also have a place now where people are familiar with you at UCF, and they want to get to the league. They're talking about getting to the NFL. And if you look at what has happened at UCF in a brief time, Scott and that staff help guys get to the league or help prepare guys that are still there. They're going to have a chance to play in the league. So I think you're always open for business. And that's the thing that the previous staff did, is they handcuffed themselves. The roster was too full, or they weren't always looking to move pieces around the roster, so that when they got to August, they had the best product out there that they could put, you know, and they weren't limited by, hey, we're not going to take transfers, we're not going to take junior colleges. Well, you're in the business of winning. When you don't win, you don't have a job. And I think Scott's looked at that, and he knows that you got to have the best roster available, and he'll do whatever it takes to get that best roster available, either with current guys and moving them around on the roster, making them better, or having the door open for people to pop up out of the blue. And that's really two guys that you mentioned, Mark, that weren't on a lot of people's radars in the recruiting business. And the next thing you know, they're saying yes to Nebraska. Now, what will they do in the fall? That's still up in the air. Will they be impact guys? Tough to say. But will they be guys that could possibly get on the field and at least add elements and give you opportunities to win football games as a whole? Yeah, that's a good possibility.
Gary Sharp with us on Hail Varsity Radio. And Gary, looking at someone that was transferring out, we kind of knew he was leaving. He was finishing out the rest of the semester, and Patrick O'Brien, and him announcing that he's going to go to Colorado State. Is there anything surprising about that, or have you really heard anything about POB and kind of his decision to go to Colorado State?
Well, I think it's a good fit for him. I think immediately people said, hey, you got to go to junior college, put up big numbers, and have schools come recruit you. And he did his due diligence and vetted numerous schools, and I think that's a really good fit for him. Mike Bobo is the head coach there. He's known for developing quarterbacks. He's known as an offensive coach, and it's a good spot for him in a program where he looked at the depth chart and said, if I come in and I work and I show off and I continue to develop, then I do have a chance to possibly get into the mix. So I think it's a really good landing spot for him. And I also think through guys leaving the program, and when you have new coaches, there's a lot of attention towards attrition in programs. You have to say that when you have a quarterback leave, people are like, whoa. Well, the way he left and how it has been handled on both sides, man, you couldn't ask for a better result. And I think we're all hoping that Patrick O'Brien gets a shot at Colorado State. But a good spot for him. I was glad to hear when he announced that yesterday that he's going to be in Fort Collins.
Gary Sharp with us on Hail Varsity Radio, talking Nebraska football. 389 pounds of fat lost. You've been on this probably more so than anybody, Gary. It's going back to last year of just how guys looked, you know, compared to the competition.
Sorry, team. I thought you were talking about myself. Okay, go ahead.
Congratulations on that. Gary now weighs negative 100 pounds. And you got to figure most of that is concentrated along the lines and a linebacker. Not exclusively, but for the most part. It's not like Stanley Morgan had to drop a bunch of weight, or Kurt Rofdahl, or, you know, there's plenty of guys that were already lean. But that much body fat being lost, are you surprised? Like, that's not normal, right? Like, to have that much to lose? Do you know what I'm saying? It's not like people tweet that out all the time, or, you know, and you know exactly how much body fat any team loses in any given kind of conditioning program. But the fact that they had that much to lose says a lot, doesn't it?
Yes. I fully agree with you, Mark, that when you have that big of a number, that means you had to come from a long way. And it wasn't necessarily, all right, this is the start. This is our baseline. Let's go get them and let's get in shape. It's, man, our baseline, we don't even know where that's at. We can't even see our waistline. And for them to have that kind of strides, I think it's pretty impressive. And it shows you not only the enthusiasm and the program that Zach DeVall and his staff has, but it's also players realizing that working hard is not hard. Working hard can be made fun. And, you know, we're already hearing stories about what summer conditioning has been like, where there's a lot of energy, there's a lot of coaches that are in your face and encouragement, there's loud music being played, there's teammates that are encouraging you at every station. And, I mean, just look at the Zach DeVall tweeted out a picture of Mike Williams yesterday. I mean, Mike Williams, and I know, Mark, you're in love with that kid. That's like right now the poster child for development physically at Nebraska. And he hasn't been here very long. He came in, you know, not the biggest guy in the world. And look where he's come from when he walked into the door in January to where he is when you watch Zach DeVall video tweeted out where he's doing a standing jump. I mean, there's going to be a lot of really, really good stories like that that'll come out when they get to August. And that's why I think, you know, I've kind of started to look at the schedule. if you had to pick the most important three-game stretch of the season, there's a lot of different angles you can go. I think for me it would be in the back end of the schedule, because we're going to see the strength and conditioning program, how much it allows Nebraska to look physically like they did in September, like they look like November. Just think of past years where Nebraska might look pretty good in September physically. But boy, when they get to November, there's some guys' bodies that don't look very good at all. I think you'll see a whole different thing from September to November with guys' bodies, and it all starts this time of the year. I mean, I always say Nebraska lost that game against Wisconsin last October in January of the previous winter in the weight room, in conditioning. They didn't lose it because all of a sudden they made a mistake here or there. They lost it because they weren't dialed in the months that were the most important, and that's right now, and I think the staff understands that. You're seeing the results, at least physically. Now we'll see how much it carries over to the field.
Gary Sharp with us on Hail Varsity Radio, and yeah, you're totally right about Mike Williams. He's probably about 15 pounds that he's added since he got here. He was about 160. So as we go into the season, I've also heard you talk about this game, and this one has me really intrigued too, because I think it could really be a cold splash of water, but you're a little more bullish on it. Nebraska at Michigan on September 22nd. You're a little more bullish on that one, right? Like if I'm kind of reading between the lines, you think that could be Nebraska's, you think they have a chance there? I think they have zero chance with I know Michigan, it's fun to make fun of Harbaugh and all that, but you know, and their offense is a mess, but their defense is ridiculously good. Like elite, one of the best defenses of this century. No joke. That's not an top 10 probably. But am I hearing you right? You're kind of bullish on that game?
It's a game that intrigues me a lot from the standpoint, and you're right, Michigan's going to have an outstanding defense and a young offense going on the road for the first time with a young quarterback. You never know what's going to happen. But I look at that game as, you know, when you're in your first year as a head coach or even in your second year as a head coach, if you want to sell to your fan base that there's progress and things are happening, you've got to find an upset along the way. There's a game that you win that people don't expect. Now, you might lose the next couple of games, but you won a game that people didn't expect, and you're like, whoa, what happened? How did they win that game? And I just look back to the first time that Scott and Harbaugh met when it was UCF going up to Ann Arbor. Now, Michigan won that game going away. But remember what the theme was for Central Florida. Scott said, we're the most physical team. I think there'll be a message being sent for a game like that. And Nebraska has a nice little buildup of three games. And, you know, Michigan probably in this country in college football, week number one, has the most to lose at Notre Dame. You lose that game and people are already mumbling about Harbaugh and what's wrong with Michigan, even though they'll go into that game about a touchdown favor. So that's a game, that's really the first game of Scott Frost's era at Nebraska that I look at and go, okay, I know it's early, but I want to see how Nebraska reacts, because there'll be adversity in the game, it'll be a physical game, and it'll also be a game where if you look up and down Nebraska's sidelines with guys on headsets, you look over and you see Harbaugh, and you see Don Brown, you see Pep Hamilton. That's a good opportunity for that coaching staff to get a little jazzed up and say, you know what, we're going to put together a game plan that's really going to make those guys on the other side of the football be on skates a little bit. So it's for the first game, first Big Ten game, you never know. Both teams could be undefeated. You could maybe have game day there. Who knows what could happen with that weekend. But that's a game that I don't think I immediately just throw over to the right column and say that's one of the guaranteed losses this year.
Gary, we've been kind of looking at what they've been doing in the offseason as far as conditioning, who they've been adding, what and kind of what positions they've been trying to fill and what they're looking at. But as far as a talent disparity, it seemed like there may have been a big one last year, but I think a lot of it falls back on physicality and fatigue throughout the game, not being able to really play any fourth quarters really well. When you look at the talent of Nebraska this year compared to other Big Ten teams, is it really that far apart?
Well, I think, Colton, some areas Nebraska has some strength, whether it be they have some good depth on the front seven, they have a very good wide receiver core. They have areas where you look and you go, God, they have some talent, but still it's a little bit unproven talent. The whole key, in my opinion, to this season, and I've said this from the start, that I'm on team 7-5. Because Nebraska is really, really thin, especially in the back end. I think that worries the staff that they don't have a lot of options at defensive back, and they can't have any injuries. You can't have a Chris Jones middle-of-the-summer type injury with this team. And I also think Nebraska looks at the offensive line, and they're an injury, you know, a left tackle away from being in trouble there. They like their talent, there's no doubt. They know they've got to get better every single day. But there are certain areas where I think Nebraska's group, position group, matches up favorably in the Big Ten. Then there's other areas where you don't know. You've been waiting for some guys, whether they're going to their junior, senior, and then there's some young guys. So there's just a lot of unknowns. But wide receiver and front seven, I think, are two areas where Nebraska will, you know, will be able to put up against the rest of the big boys in the Big Ten and say, okay, we feel real good about these position groups.
Gary Sharp joining us on Hail Varsity Radio. Gary, thanks a lot, brother, and we'll talk to you again next week, my man.
Hey, thanks, Mark. Colton.
All right, there's Gary Sharp from 1620 up in Omaha joining us every Saturday. A lot of stuff in there. So, Gary, you know, I was joking. I was like, hey, Gary, come on, man. You got to give us some breaking news, and he couldn't come up with any, but then he actually did have some. There's a transfer from Bowling Green that is potentially out there. We'll see. Do you expect a lot out of those guys? Like, from what you've seen, you saw Will Jackson, Colton. I like his film. He looks like he hits.
The thing I've always said, and I've said this to Chris before, and it usually falls back on more unproven guys and high school kids, but I try not to read into tape too much, and I try not to read into you know what people say in the stars and everything like that before they get here, because anything they've done previously can be immediately erased or improved as soon as they get on campus and get playing time. But I mean, like Gary was kind of saying, there are spots where they're trying to fill holes, and as secondary is one of them. And based on what I've heard and seen of Will Jackson, I mean, that can be a huge help for a team that's kind of thin at, in a very important position.
All right, Colton, let's step aside. Got to get another break in before we wrap up hour number two on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Early to rise with Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranick.
Hour number two of Hail Varsity Radio, Saturday morning edition. Mark Kranick alongside Colton Stone. Voice guy lied to you. Chris Schmidt is out. He's in Colorado. He'll be back next week with Junior playing baseball. So good for... that's a good trip, Colorado. I haven't been there in a long time. How about you? You got any vacations planned this summer, Colton?
Anywhere? I'm going to Arizona next week. One of my buddies, actually two of my friends live down there, but one of them always comes back to Nebraska for the summer. So no one likes driving 22 hours from Phoenix, so I'm helping him do that.
That's a great drive. That is an underrated drive.
It's actually not bad, but the thing that only sucks is when you're going through New Mexico. It doesn't look like it's very high up or very mountainous, but it is, and your car can tell, especially when you've got it loaded up with quite a bit of stuff. But it's beautiful, and you know, we're gonna leave early enough that we'll catch the good spots of it, and I think we're staying in Oklahoma. That way we don't go 22 hours straight, but we'll do that. And then we're potentially going to Nashville also, but it won't be the same stretch. We'll recoup before we do that.
Yeah, that's a great drive, because it's funny. You're coming back through Oklahoma as opposed to coming up through Colorado.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we'll kind of cut through New Mexico and then go up through Oklahoma and Kansas, I think.
If you do Colorado, New Mexico, Arizona, it is an awesome drive, right? You got the mountains and the forest, and then all of a sudden you got the plateaus and the steppes and all that, and then you get the desert. It's like as opposed to, like, if you just drive to the East Coast from Nebraska, mm-hmm. like to D.C., you just see the same crap the whole way.
Yeah.
Same plants, same topography. It's like, come on. An Arizona drive's good. So that's weird that you're deciding to go to Arizona in the summer, because I don't know if you know this, but it's 5 million degrees there.
Yeah, well, what I've been told is May and June are the best, because I've been down there in May, and it's not so humid right now. Yeah, it's like 100 degrees, but, I mean, it's been 90 here with 60% humidity or more, so it's been just as bad. It's July and August where they get a little bit of humidity, and then they're also like 120 degrees, so... Yeah, it's not fun necessarily in the summer, but It'll be good. We'll come back and it'll just be as hot as it was when we left.
That's a good point. All right. There's the Hail Varsity Radio Show. You can find us on iTunes. Just give it a search there in case you miss any parts of the show, and be locked in on HailVarsity.com all weekend as recruiting takes shape. Never know. Greg Smith will be all over that. For Colton Stone, for Gary Sharp, for Brandon Vogel, Mark Kranak, saying so long. We'll talk to you next week.